Midday, every Saturday.
Planet FM Sports Review, proudly brought to you by Westprint. Their address is 9 Pereira Street in New Lynn. Their number is 09-827-8531. Their email address is westprint.co.nz. And it's great to be back on air. Thank you very much to Paul Haddon, who's working in the studio for us. So it's great to be back. And, of course, it's great to have this guy back, former All Black, 1987 World Cup winner AJ Whetton. AJ, welcome back, mate.
Hey, nice to be back, Piggy. Hope you're battling down all right and amongst a bit of COVID crap, but it is what it is.
It is what it is, and of course, it's been a hell of a weekend of rugby. Just before we kick into the All Black South Africa test, over last week, one of the great All Blacks passed away, Waka Nathan. A tremendous All Black, but also a tremendous administrator, former president of the Auckland Rugby Union, and also a really done a lot for New Zealand Maori's rugby. What were some of your thoughts? You would have known Waka. What were some of your thoughts on the great man?
Well, yeah, it's quite very sad, and my condolences out to the Waka Nathan family and friends. He was a regular when he was able to come up to the Barbarians, and had many a few beers with Waka. He was, of course, tied up with Lion Breweries for many years, and that's when I first met him as a young man. And visiting him and asking for a bootload full of the proverbial to go on holiday. He was very generous. But I guess that was one of his strengths, Biggie. He was very affable. He always had time to have a chat. And I'd just like to say that I just think he's just one of those good buggers. You know, he had time for everybody. People gravitated towards him, and not only just his prowess on the rugby field, which is well documented and will go down in history, but just being the man he was, just a delight to be around. And it was with a heavy heart I saw and read that he had passed away, knowing that he hadn't been well for a few years. Rest in peace, Waka. Rest in peace.
Yep. Well said, AJ. He was one hell of a tremendous guy. I know that people that went on, he used to do a lot of the All Blacks tours as a tour guide. I know one person who went on his tour with him and Ian Kirkpatrick in 2005. They said they couldn't speak more highly of.
Those two.
They had a great tour. Maybe myself and you may have to do one of those tours one of those days once they let us out of the country. But we must move on, and we must talk about the All Blacks versus South Africa. I have to say, if you were looking for running rugby, an open game, this wasn't it. It was a tough arm wrestle. Some of my thoughts from the game, Geordie Barrett was just outstanding, as was Ethan Blackadder, but for goodness sake, when the points were on offer, take them. What was your thoughts, AJ?
Yeah, look, I always was going into this match with a bit of caution. Look, there was only upside for the South Africans in some ways, being the 100th test match between the two icons of world rugby. And also after being beaten, and some would say soundly beaten, really, by the Australians. Haven't they come on in leaps and bounds? So really, I was expecting a hard physical clash. I think they certainly got that. But just the way it turned out in regards to the skill level, the discipline, it was disappointing, Piggy, to be honest. Now, I love my rugby, but I did find it tough to watch. The retention of the ball certainly wasn't up to the standards that we would expect of our All Blacks, and I know it was well mentioned by Artie Savia and also Ian Foster. Look, I think the players realised it wasn't one of their better, well, it wasn't one of their better test matches. But there was a lot at stake to claim that 100th test match, to win the Freedom Cup, I understand. But as a spectator, you'd expect more from two sides that have that history and the standard of players in both sides.
Absolutely, AJ. I felt we got a bit beaten up by their forward pack a bit, and while they played, South Africa played, which we were expecting, a very, very one-dimensional, it could be conceded as boring, it was quite effective in passages.
Yeah, but look, they played to their strengths. Look, we knew that Faf was going to keep putting the ball up, even when they were in the 22 on attack. I found that quite astonishing at times. I know they have some talent out there. You know, Garland, Nicosi. I mean, they've got some speed there. I just struggle why they didn't give them an opportunity. But on the other hand, I thought we were trying probably a bit too much in our back line, yep. The likes of Ione, Jordan and Bridge, Harvilli, to get the ball wide, knowing it was a strength of ours. And some of the players, and you know, we see Bridge. I mean, I don't think he'll have a game like that before. You know, the high ball, he was certainly tested. But I thought, obviously, Jody Barrett had a really good game under the high ball, very confident, and congrats on kicking that marvellous penalty goal to clinch the match. But the forwards, you mentioned Ethan Blackadder, hasn't he come on? Taken his opportunity. 6, 7 or 8, and he, I tell you what, he doesn't leave anything left on the field, does he? Just gives it 100%. I thought the forwards held their own to a degree. The scrum was always a bit of an issue, but test matches changes week by week, and mentally you've just got to get yourself up. We talked about Keir Ione. Well, we didn't see him in this test match, did we? A binder the week before, and not many chances to shine this week. So it is all about consistency. And for once, the All Blacks didn't bring it to the table, and played more or less into the hands of the South Africans, who just wanted to kick it, chase it, put pressure, make mistakes, and try and capitalise on it. And I was so happy for the All Blacks to come through, because I wouldn't want that brand of rugby to come out the winner, Biggie.
Absolutely. Well, of course, the Australians had a good win over Argentina, 27-8. So they've come right. They've come right. Quade Cooper is actually playing really good rugby at the moment. But then we must move on to the Bunnings NPC. And I'll tell you what a weekend it was, AJ. Waikato 39, Tasman 22. And it was, you know, like, that was an upset in Nelson. Manawa 2 with Aaron Smith, 31, over Northland, 19. This, and of course, Hawke's Bay, 31, Wellington, 28, and then in the other Saturday game, the Cantabs sneaked the Golden Point victory, 19 points to 16 over South. And what were some of your thoughts there?
Well, I'll go with Manawa 2 first because of Aaron Smith. I think him being on board there has certainly brought them a lot of confidence. And look, I think they're not a bad little side. Maybe just a wee bit lightweight up front, but certainly with Aaron there, giving them direction and confidence, and coming away with a good win over there over Northland, who are battling it a bit, that's for sure. Now, Canterbury over Southland. How many of us were cheering for Southland? I tell you, playing there, I've had the privilege of playing against Southland. I tell you what, you know you've been in a match down there. There's sprig marks all over your back, but the beer's cold, and the white bait fritters are really beautiful. But I tell you, you have to earn it. And, Golden Point, Canterbury getting out of jail again. They'll be bitterly disappointed down there in Southland. That was one match they would have earmarked to make their season, and they just fell at the last hurdle. But Canterbury, boy, they've got a bit of work to do. They're not the dominant team that they have been in the past years. I think the other teams know that and are trying to make the best of their opportunities. Hawke's Bay, one of my favourites, playing away against Wellington. Well, it was all over really at halftime, from my point of view. They're up 24 points to 7. I think they came off that bit of a wake-up call, Biggie, to be honest, last week, when they had the Battle of the Bay against Bay of Plenty for the Shield. They had to pull finger. I thought ably led again by Ash Dixon up front. Gosh, he's a huge identity there. I liked the loose three over course with Evans, O'Connor and Bakley. I thought they did extremely well. But McClutchie and this Inari, halfback first five, very calm and collected under the pressure. And just waltzed away from the Wellingtonian lines, even though they came back with those two late tries. Cariffy, always a handful. And I liked that Umanga Jensen. I thought he played well. They always looked dangerous. But, yeah, the damage was done in the first half, and they were playing catch-up Wellington. Well done to the Hawke's Bay.
And yeah, the Bay against the Mackie,
well...
Yeah, well, that Potros is a good footballer, isn't he?
Well, I tell you what. Where has he come from? I haven't really seen. He's come under the radar a bit. And boy, what? The games are played. He is really steady. He seems to be everywhere. You can't miss him. You know, first five, the bald-headed fella. But Potros, hats off to you. He's playing a blinder of a season. And when you've got Perifita and Naholo in the back line, you know, why not?
Yeah.
You know, these are match winners. Very strong up front. They always have been. You know what, a Neil Slater bend in the front row. They love it. They're gnarly. The old Taranaki, aren't they? They're just hard-nosed buggers. Suikulu, Croswell, Florence. They just get in there and they're so annoying. And they just got away from the Bay, hung in there for a while. But Bay just showing not quite up here at the moment. I was impressed with Selby Rickett. I thought he tried hard. Scott Young and the Lucys. But, yeah. Just not quite up to the mark at the moment, and you know, a 30-point loss. Hats off to Taranaki; they certainly look the team of the competition.
They certainly do. Well, just heading towards next week, the All Blacks have another Test match against South Africa. Would you make any changes or keep the same running 15 on, AJ?
Well, I think I've seen with Ian Foster, he put his so-called A team out there. They're keen to do the Five Nations, as he mentioned, the Six Nations, whatever, to come home unbeaten. So I think he'll make one or two changes. I don't think it'll be wholesale, not against South Africa.
Oh,
South Africa have to redeem themselves. Redeem themselves here, so they've got to come out and fire. So I don't think there'll be a lot of changes. Two, three at max, and let's hope they can. Come through unbeaten and get on that Northern Tour with a lot of confidence under the belt.
Well, yeah, let's hope so, because, there is some good young players coming through. Ethan Blackadder has just got better and better as the season's got on. Well, AJ, it's been great to have you back on here, it's good, and hopefully we'll be able to do this again next week, and I hope your run consumption has been at a bare minimum over this lockdown.
Well, I must admit, I had a couple on the weekend. I mean, a double hitters. I mean, it sets up for great viewing. So I must admit, the old Appletons has taken a bit of a hiding, Peggy. I'm going to have to go back to the bottle shop and set myself up for this week, mate.
Yeah, well, I must admit, I can't lie that alcohol hasn't touched my lips, but it has been of a very, very small quantity. Just to let you know, AJ, just got to be very careful, because my health coach at the medical centre actually listens to the show. So, Doc, if you're listening, I'm late. The grog is out at the very, very minimum. AJ, thanks so much for your time. AJ, that was really good, mate. And we'll catch you later. Okay, we'll just let Paul have a quick chat to AJ, and then we'll just play a bit of music. Next up, we'll have a bit of a chat to Blue McLennan on the NRL situation. Of course, some great games, but really overshadowed by Reece Walsh. So we'll just play a bit of music if we're all right to go there, Paul.
Troubles and doubts, giving me everything inside and out. And love strange, so real and dark. Think of the tender things that we were working on. Slow change may pull us apart. When a light gets in your heart, baby, don't you forget about me.
Waiting for this to go through. Okay, welcome back everyone to the West Prince Sports Review. Wow, what a weekend of NRL Rugby League. Unfortunately, there was a bit of other news over the weekend, but I'd like to welcome on show my good mate, former Warriors coach, former Leeds Rhinos and former Kiwis coach, Bluey McLennan. Bluey, good afternoon. Great to have you back on air.
Hey, Piggy, how you doing?
Oh, mate, I am absolutely awesome. But before we head and talk about these semis, we better address this first. Reece Walsh got caught, was arrested over the weekend on Surfers Paradise with possession of cocaine. Now, there is going to be some big questions asked of the Warriors. Do they sack him, which I don't believe they will, but there could be repercussions should the Warriors... Should he be charged and should the Warriors move back to New Zealand? What were some of your thoughts? A silly, rather dumb decision.
My thoughts are he's an 18-year-old boy. He's made a mistake. He's owned up.
Yeah.
And for the Warriors, I think the way they've handled this situation has been fantastic. They got on the front foot. Presented themselves and young Reece to the media really quickly and owned it. They say today he'll start a drug rehabilitation program. Look, it's a mistake by a young man. I would hate to sit there and say on air, Piggy, the amount of mistakes I made as an 18-year-old. I think we accept it and move on and then help him. In some ways, this might be the making of the young fella. You know, it's better he got caught early before he, you know, became bulletproof and made even worse mistakes.
Yeah, and there's one thing I've always got to say about the Warriors. No matter what has happened on the field, off the field, they're a very, very structured club. And there's very, very few scandals at the Warriors. They tend to have a clean house when it comes to that. Anyway, let's move on to the semi-finals. What a weekend it was, Bluey. Rabbitohs 36. The Sea Eagles 16, the wily old fox Wayne Bennett does it again, but wow, performances by Cody Walker and Latrell Mitchell. No Latrell, no worries, this guy did. Brad Trapp has been fantastic. What was your thoughts?
Yeah, the Rabbitohs just got out really strongly, and that's the order of playing in the really big matches, is you've got to get out of the blocks and start really strongly. They did in both halves. They really strong. I thought Damien Cook was superb out of dummy half, and Cody Walker does what Cody Walker does. And Adam Reynolds playing with a little bit of a strained groin was very strong too. Defensively, the Rabbits were really strong in the middle, a little bit suspect on the edges at times there. You know, Manly were close to jagging a couple of tries, but, South stayed strong until the last 10 minutes. But they go into the grand final looking pretty healthy and with a bit of gas in their tank.
They certainly do. And, of course, you know, I have to say, like, Cody Walker has just been outstanding. But, yeah, you were really impressed with Cam Murray. That back row, which the Rabbitohs have, is a very, very good back row. And I have to say that I'm really looking forward to this grand final. And can the old Wiley Fox in his hometown finally get another NRL?
Yeah, it would be, you know, it'd be a fantastic achievement by Wayne, and you know, he is in the, you know, will go down as, you know, the one of the greatest coaches of all time in the sport of rugby league. You know, and actually even in sport in Australia. You know, he's the master at getting his teams right. You know, his teams are always competitive, and he's very strong when it comes to the big games. He, you know, with his, you mentioned Cam Murray, you got Cam Murray, Damien Cook, and, you know, the state of origin players, you know, they go into this game looking healthier than Penrith. And, you know, but still, it's the big dance. Anything can happen in the grand final. You know, it'll again be another interesting grand final.
And of course, then we move on to the Saturday game, Penrith Panthers 10, the Melbourne Storm 6. I never thought in my the season that the Storm would lose the semi-finals, but obviously when Christian Welsh and Brandon Smith were both injured, they were playing with only two interchanges. So, you know, I was really very, very impressed. We spoke about the back row for the Rabbitohs, but Capewell, Martin, Isaac Yeo, Kickow, really, really a great performance, and God, did they tackle like anything.
They certainly did, Piggy. I thought the Panthers got out of the blocks really strongly, you know, and the first try was just, you know, great work in the video room, knowing that, you know, if the kicker wasn't on that right side of the ruck, Ad O'Carr would squeeze up. And so he went in the dummy half and outfoxed the Fox. Brilliant video work and coaching. Very aggressive in their defence, Penrith. You name some players that were outstanding defensively. You know, and they got out of the blocks really well in the second half too. And then it was a matter of hanging on. Now, to do what both teams did, and, you know, it was a 3 p.m. kickoff in Brisbane. It was around 30 degrees. And they were absolutely ripping into each other. The gas tanks were empty well before full time. Unbelievable. You know, well done to Penrith. What they've done over the last 3 weeks, Piggy, to even make the grand final is a tremendous feat in itself. And they, I like their attitude. They feel like, hey, they've made the grand final. They've done it the hard way, but they feel like their match, you know, that they're conditioned to tough footy. So it makes for a really, really great grand final.
Ian, you know, well, I believe the Rabbitohs are probably going to come in as favourite for this final. I feel the Panthers will be better for that match. You know, I did feel sorry for the Storm, you know, when you lose two key players and you're down to two or three interchanges, it makes it hard on you. But I felt Jerome Hughes had tried everything to keep Storm in the game. But I just feel that the Panthers will be better for this. And I think they'll be more match hardened for that, Bluey.
Yeah, they will be. I'm glad you mentioned Jerome Hughes. I thought he was fantastic, you know. And his sidekick, Cameron Munster, you know, imploded a bit there.
Yeah.
But I thought, and I agree, and Christian Welch and the cheese, the block of cheese, Brandon Smith, you know, they're the players for Melbourne that create pressure with line speed and kick pressure and so forth. So it was hard for Melbourne, but you know what? That's footy. That's just how it rolls, you know. And for Panthers, it's going to be, have they got enough legs in them? You know, yeah. I think against South, they're going to have to get out of the blocks really well again. And I just worry for Penrith in the last 20 minutes. Like, what they've had to do, mate, is really hard. Like, right? Rugby league is a collision sport. And, you know, I know from personal experience that the kind of endurance levels that you need to have while you're in these collisions. And I just fear for the Panthers that they've had to do too much to get there. So if they do go on and beat South, for me, it will be one of the greatest grand final wins in a long time, given what they've had to do. Because it, the last three games they've played, mate, it's, they've lost one by six, they've won one by two, and won the next one by four. They've been fighting tooth, you know, tooth and nail with their Panthers. They've been scratching and clawing their way there. And you can see some of the players are busted, mate. Ivan's young boy, you know, Nathan Cleary, who's a state of origin player, he's playing busted, but he's still aiming up. And I looked at, you know, a few players there, they're playing injured, but they're still cracking on. It's you know, it's fantastic, mate. I can't wait till Sunday. It's going to be great, Piggy.
I think it's going to be a fantastic grand final. And of course, anyone who saw the match between these two in the semis, I don't think there'll be a quarter given. I actually agree with you, Bluey, especially when it comes to that last 20 minutes. I just feel that there's probably a bit more attacking now off the bench from the Rabbitohs. And of course, it would be nice to see the great man Benji Marshall basically get another grand finals winner's medal. To probably, which may be his last match.
Yeah, it probably is going to be Benji's last match. And, you know, for Benji's sake, yeah, it would be so sweet. But in my humble opinion, mate, I love Benji and what he's done in his career. For me, he's a New Zealand great in rugby league, regardless of whether they win this week or not. Some of the things he's done, you know, he revolutionised the game, mate. He's won a World Cup. He's won a grand final already. You know, and I love the fact of his courage. I mean, he come and played for the Blues and rugby union in a different sport. It didn't work out, but he had the courage to do that. And for me, that's, you know, proves what a tough character he is. And he's come back, and, you know, if he can turn around and be a part of winning the grand final for the Rabbitohs, well, then he would surely be considered as one of the immortals of the New Zealand Rugby League.
Absolutely. On that note, Bluey, I just want to thank you. Thanks for your contribution today. It's great to be back on air. And, of course, we've got a couple of weeks. We'll do our grand final review next week, and we'll do our review of the NRL season 2021 the following week. So thank you very much, Bluey, and I hope the rest of the day goes well for you, my man.
Thank you so much, Piggy. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Cheers, mate. It's always great to have you on here. So we're probably going to cut to a bit of music, then we're going to talk a bit of EPL with former All Whites Noel Barclay. Also talk about the All Whites that have been named, as well as some news of the Phoenix, Wellington Phoenix Nest, whatever they're going to be called, in the W League. So we'll hit to a bit of music, and then we'll get Noel Barclay on next. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM. Well, we're going to talk a bit of EPL and all things football. Oh God, if you're a Manchester United supporter, you really don't want to speak about that because we're up to getting a few texts from a few of the other clubs. But here to join us is former All White, Noel Barclay. Good afternoon to you, Noel. Great, so we're back live on air, mate. How are you?
Yeah, no, you're getting back to the new normal, Eamon. And yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, the weekend's football was didn't have many highlights for me, but one to forget Man United and Villa, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay, well, so we might as well kick into it. Well, Manchester, well, the noisy neighbours from the other side of Manchester, they had a 1-0 win over Chelsea, minus the striker. Now, you know, we've spoken about whether Manchester City can be competitive without a striker, but they've proven that it works. What were some of your thoughts on the game?
They absolutely were superb. The highlights package didn't have any other highlights for Chelsea other than a goal that was offside. Man City murdered Chelsea at Chelsea and really sort of made it pretty clear that they can get by without a number nine. And I mean, they've had something like 12 different goal scorers already, but it was just about, it was the dominance of possession and the number of chances that they had. Mendy made some amazing saves. It was a game that, to be fair, it should have been about 3 or 4-0. Pretty scary stuff from them, that's for sure.
It certainly is. And of course, some of the other games, like that was a good match between Liverpool and Brentford. That was one hell of an exciting match. What were some of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I couldn't believe the Brentford's goals were all a little bit sort of bit lucky, I have to say, a bit sort of scrambly. But what an even game that was! Like, it was pretty excited, and clearly Liverpool couldn't deal with the directness of, you know, how Brentford played the long ball. You know, and there's not many teams in the EPL play long ball, but they do it, and they just hustle and bustle and make it really difficult. They're going to be a handful for any team, and they just didn't let Liverpool settle down, and Liverpool showed their class, of course, as well. I mean, scoring three goals away from home and not getting a win is pretty amazing. So yeah, what a great start from Brentford. They're really making it pretty clear that they deserve to be at the table.
Yeah, they certainly are. And I think at the beginning of the season, we said that they wouldn't get relegated. Well, I don't believe they will get relegated. We'll have to go on to this one. Villa 1, Manchester United 0. Now, the pressure's really on Solskjaer out there. With a team of that talent, they didn't actually even look in the game, Noel. They haven't played well in the last few weeks.
Three defeats and four is not good enough for Man United. Not when you've spent 120-130 million pounds and the quality that they've got. Even though they're a bit short in midfield, you have to say that you know, when you've got $1 billion of wages every year, that you're going to be good enough to beat Aston Villa. I mean, we should have lost about 3-0. It was awful. I don't think I've seen this play so bad. And if we'd have got a draw at the end, to be honest, it would have been daylight robbery. Big problems with Solskjaer and massive games coming up with some injuries now. Villarreal in the Champions League this week, and then a run of games. You know, all of the top five. Come early December, I'm not so sure Solskjaer is going to be around if he doesn't really sort of start to pick the right team and make the right substitutions.
Yeah, well, you know, you have a look at all that talent. Well, but who do you replace them with? And that becomes the million-dollar question. Like, ever since Alex Ferguson's left, to take on the role as manager of Manchester United should be an honour, but a lot of people avoid it now. Just getting through some of the other results. Leicester 2, Burnley 2, Everton 2, Norwich 0, West Ham 2, Leeds 1. Well, West Ham are playing really well. Watford 1, Newcastle 1, Arsenal 3, Spurs 1, and Wolves 1. Southampton, Nil. Some of your thoughts on some of those games, like West Ham are still keeping in touch with the top four, and so are Everton.
Well, West Ham, Everton, and of course Brighton. If Brighton winning tomorrow, where Palace, they'll actually go top, which is quite incredible. So yeah, look, it's good to see they're in a bit of a log pile at the top there. You got to be worried about Spurs. Some their stats were just horrendous today. Harry Kane just looks completely a different player, and yeah, you got to think that Nuno could well be. He's now replaced Arteta as the most likely manager to get sacked. But yeah, so some good results. Good to see Jimenez score for Wolves after such an incredibly bad injury last year. But yeah, look, it's a very exciting start to this league. I mean, Man United's defeat was disappointing, but here we are, a point off the top. So it's very competitive, and that's really exciting.
It certainly is. Well, we'll move on to a bit of local stuff. Some great news over the week. The Wellington Phoenix will have a women's team in the W League, and I think it's fantastic for women's football in New Zealand, Noel.
Yeah, it really is, and they certainly have a massive job ahead of them trying to get a team together for later this year. But yeah, look, I mean, the opportunity is now there. Now they've got to go and find a coach, find a player. Some of the better players are actually playing for other clubs, so not quite sure what sort of the plan is, but opportunity to get the women's game professional in this country before World Cup in 23. It was absolutely vital, and good on the people that have made that work. And then also the big news with the All Whites, Eamon releasing their squad, and some real big disappointments there for me. Jani Stenchness now decided to play for Australia. I'm absolutely gobsmacked. I'm gutted because he is an outstanding footballer, which is clearly why the Aussies have nabbed him.
Yeah, and you know, when I saw that this morning, obviously we knew about Ryan Thomas, we knew about Winston Reid, but you know, he can play at centre back. He can be a defensive midfielder. It's just a pity because we took him to the Olympics, and now he's decided. Well, obviously somebody from Australian football has given him a bit of a tap up to say, you're going to be named in our next Socceroos squad, but real disappointment. But some new caps, some interesting new caps coming in. A lot of the boys from the Olympics, like Staminage, Garbutt, who else? And there's also the great John Kirwan's son, Nico Kirwan, who's playing in Italy, has been included in that squad.
Yeah, so it's good to see Nico there. Of course, Danny Hay knows Nico well. He's a Sacred Heart boy, as is most of his family. And he's a very talented athlete, and can put himself about as a big engine. And right back's a bit of a problem spot for the All Whites. And I'm thinking that he'll definitely play and get a chance in two pretty tough games. Tommy Smith back at 38. That was a bit of a surprise when you've got both the Boxels and Tumaloma and Panicker. So yeah, look, they've got a lot of strength at the back. But the big surprise for me really was Chris Wood making himself available for that tour. And my goodness, it's great to see Sapard Singh back in there. And can't wait to see his development in these games.
Yeah, I'm quite excited about this, these friendlies, because I believe we're gonna finally see what the future of New Zealand football is. Tapri Singh, you have Joe Bell, who is on the radar of many championship clubs in England. We get to see Elijah Just and Cam McCallum, who are playing fantastic football in Denmark, and Staminax, who I believe who looks the goods. And so I think this is really going to be a fantastic opportunity for Danny and the boys there.
Yeah, but unlucky with some of the A-League players. But really, it's a hell of a good sign when your whole team is picked from overseas professionals, compared to, you know, my generation where everybody played in New Zealand. So I mean, it's an amazing move, and a lot of these kids have come through, you know, Olay and the academies and so on. Here we are now in a situation where it's actually coming to fruition, and we've actually got professionals, you know, a lot of professionals actually missing out on this squad, and that just goes to show you the strength that we've got. Pretty excited to see this group, and obviously Chris Wood wants to be a part of it, and Ryan Thomas again, when the time is right, he will definitely be involved, I'm sure.
I think there's a lot to look forward to, a lot to look forward for New Zealand football now, and I believe that it's looking, the future in New Zealand football is looking very, very rosy. Well, Noel, I have to say, it's great to have you back, and hopefully we have a bit more to smile about next week. Hopefully a Manchester United win midweek against Villarreal, and hopefully we can have some more wins on the board so that we can challenge for the Premier League.
Absolutely, looking forward to it, and a big European Cup during the week as well, Champions League, so exciting stuff.
Anyway, it was great chatting to you. Okay, so next up we're going to have the sole panellist, Sean Summerfield. We're going to be talking a number of issues, rugby, motorsport, recent developments of the New Zealand Breakers. So we're just about to play a little bit of music, and then we'll get on to the old Silver Tongue, Silver Fox very, very soon.
Heart to a little white dove, more than a feeling. Hello.
G'day.
Paul. Yeah, g'day. How are we all going here? It's Planet FM, and we are live with the Silver Tongue, Silver Fox, Mr. Summerfield. Great to have you back on air. Welcome back, mate.
Hey, mate. Are we still locked down, or are we slightly unlocked? The door's closed, but I don't know.
It is basically, lockdown has been good for my personal health. I will say that I haven't drunk a lot of alcohol, so my health coach who listens to the show will be very, very impressed when I say I'm under level two. But, hey, what did you think of the rugby over the weekend, mate?
I don't know. It wasn't a very enjoyable game, but then, it sort of was in a way because it was, you know, it was a tense finish and you sort of want that in a test match. But, mate, what it came down to was Butterfingers. And it was sort of a little bit embarrassing, and not just Bridge either. There was a lot of stupid mistakes. Just thank goodness for the new Don Clark and Jordy Barrett. You know, reliable on the back and with the boot. But yeah, I don't know. It just, you know, I don't think there was a deeper malaise with the All Blacks. They just, it was the basics, mate. They didn't catch the ball. I mean, Havili, I mean, how many times, you know, when you're 8 years old, look at the ball, don't look at the player. And his eyes went on the ball when he was running. That's why he didn't catch it. And, you know, yeah, the guy's going to tackle you, mate. But in the end, it's up to the person passing to you to pass to someone in a better position. So it's basic stuff. I mean, and maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but that's what I see. Tell me I'm wrong.
I don't think you're wrong at all, Sean. Also, we got a bit beaten up as well, too. I think that South African forward pack really just disrupted. They basically antagonised us, where I actually haven't seen, with the exception of, say, Ethan Blackadder, who is, I have to say, while I enjoyed watching his father play, he's 10 times the player his father ever was, and that's no disrespect. But that South African pack really gave us a bit of a worry. I've got this real feeling that we're going to get beaten on this Northern Tour by Wales.
You know what? I don't think so, because if the All Blacks can play that rubbish and beat South Africa, who were a much tougher team than they have been against Australia. And I tell you what, though, we used to, you know, take the mickey out of England and talk about 10-man rugby. I tell you what, South Africa have now brought it into 9-man rugby. I couldn't think of, you know, if you're worried about redundancy, you wouldn't want to be a back in the box, would you? I mean, if you know, what? You're in a job and, geez, I haven't got much to do, mate. I wonder if I'm going to keep my job. Seriously. Those guys were going 20 minutes without touching the ball.
Yeah, I know.
How do you keep interested?
It must be one of the most loneliest jobs in the world, being a wing three quarter for the South Africans.
It's just incredible. You do all this work to get selected, and then what do we do? Well, just hope you can tackle, mate. And look, normally it wouldn't be a bad job because they could stand there and watch the All Blacks, and the All Blacks would be good to watch, but they weren't good to watch. But look, Jordy Barrett, he really did save the day, not just with that kick, but with under the high ball. I mean, they're making a big deal about being bombarded with those kicks. Seriously, guys, it's just catching. It's what rugby's about, you know? And you know, it was just an off night. I am glad that Bridge didn't get pulled. I think he had to be given a chance to redeem himself. I can't imagine what it feels like. You know, we're in Mental Health Awareness Week now. What it must be like for someone, you know, we think about things we struggle with. Fumbling like that, knowing what your fumble's just done, knowing that you, 99 times out of 100, you should catch that. And I'm glad he got to stay on and keep playing and had an okay game, because, mate, that's intensity. But, you know, you take that out of it and South Africa didn't have anything to make noise about.
certainly would. Wow. F1, Lewis is back on top again. Sean, what were some of your thoughts from the Russian Grand Prix?
Probably one of the best races I've watched. It was just incredible. We had Ferrari and McLaren fighting up front for ages. We knew they're not the fastest cars, but they were doing the job. It was just fascinating. Verstappen fighting from the back, getting past Bottas and Leclerc. I mean, it was just all through the field. The racing was just incredible. It really was. This was everything that we say we often miss in Formula One. And then the rain comes right at the end. And Norris, who, I mean, I watched him years ago racing in New Zealand. He is unbelievable in the wet. And he stayed out. And he was looking okay. You know, Hamilton was 26 seconds behind. You know, he was on the intermediates. In theory, Norris is looking all right, but then the rain got heavier and heavier, and then he was just skating all over the track, and he had to concede defeat. And the kid was gutted, but you know what? He took it on the chin. He said, look, they did say to come in. I believed I could do it. I backed myself. He rolled the dice.
Yeah.
It didn't go his way. But honestly, just an incredible race. But I tell you, Stroll and Vettel. I remember Lance Stroll's dad owns the team. And they keep bumping into each other. And I'm just interested to see where that one goes. Because I think Vettel is, for me, one of the coolest guys. Him and Ricciardo are the coolest guys in Formula One, with Norris not far behind. But I'd hate to see this go badly for Vettel, because I think Formula One needs him.
I think they certainly do, and of course, well, it's been quite a spiteful season this year, but F1 always brings out the best and worst of people. Just one thing that caught my attention over the week, the Ty Webster saga. New Zealand Breakers sacked Ty Webster because he refused to get a vaccine shot before relocating to Australia. Now, you know, I'm fully backed. I believe that you've probably had your vaccine. You know, if people don't want to get it, if they're cool. But if you're employed as a professional sports person, if you're told to take it, then you go and take it. What's some of your thoughts on that?
Well, mate, actually, I'm completely anti-vax. No, I'm just kidding you. Of course I'm vax. Why would you not vax? Seriously. Oh, my goodness. Oh, look, you know, so many things in the world that we have to worry about, and that one, you know, it's no more dangerous than catching a bus to work. It's the very worst it can do, guys. Look after ourselves, get right. You know, we've been so lucky for the last year having this normal life, and, you know, for whatever reason, he's chosen to do that. And I think the Breakers have got out of it quite well, Eamon, because if they didn't have to make the call. The call was made by the AMBL. So for that reason, there was a get-out-of-jail for them. They said, sorry, mate, that's the rules. Now, if they had to just deal with it as an employment situation, they'd be in a lot of trouble, and that's the problem that the country's going to face now. And, hey, we're not alone. I know in Sweden, we deal with people in Sweden with my work, and there they can't even make you wear a mask. They can't. There's all the things they can't make you do. It's just the goodwill of people. But, you know, but if he believes that strongly enough to just throw it away, then that's his call. But, you know, it's really interesting, this whole situation we're seeing. And look, hey, who knows? He could have some serious medical or ethical reasons, or he could be just another victim of the bollocks on social media. But he won't be the first. He's not the first. He won't be the last, sorry. To fall foul of this, and you know, in the end, I just want our world back, mate. You know, we've been so lucky in the last year, and but I think we're going to change as well, and that's why we need this vaccination, because we're going to have to live with it. But anyway, hey, sorry, I've got to do the right thing. Scott McLaughlin, Rookie of the Year in IndyCar.
Well, hey, and, great result.
Yeah, finishing 11th in the. So that was great, and he's the first Penske driver to win that title, which is really awesome. Scott Dixon finishing fourth in the championship after a third finish today. And a tough weekend again in F2 for Liam Lawson. Sorry to go back to the motorsport,
yeah, but I had to
mention that. You know, here he is leading the DTM, which is sort of his other sort of series they've put him into, but it's just he binged out of the first race, had a come off second best when he hit the wall. He was doing okay, fighting for a podium, and in the last race he pushed it, but couldn't make it happen. But F2's the one that's going to get him to F1. He's good enough to get there, but he's just got to sort of, to finish first you must finish. But looking at that, though, he managed to finish seventh in the last race, and I should mention Marcus Armstrong, the other Kiwi, finished 11th.
Okay, well, that's still a good result for Liam Lawson. Well, Sean, I want to thank you for coming on here. For the next week, you'll be on air, then you'll have a break, and we'll have the great man, Mr. Watson, back. But it's always great to hear your input on air.
And I want to wish you a happy birthday,
even though it's not your birthday, for your day of birth over lockdown.
Well, hey, that's it, though, mate. I tell you what, if it happens during lockdown, it doesn't happen legally. You can't have the birthday party, so there's no birthday. So I'm going to call a legal case on that. So have you got Watto back next week, have you?
No, you'll be back next week, and Watto will be back the week after.
And he will be primed, mate. Imagine. He'll have 2 months of it ready to go.
It's looking good. Anyway, it always is, mate. It always is. And I mean, then the pleasure's been entirely yours. Okay, thanks a lot, Sean. Okay, everyone. Well, we've had a good show today. It's great to be back on air, and I hope everyone's enjoyed this show, and a bit of humour at the end with the old silver fox at the end. So we'll catch up with you next week. The podcast will be downloaded a bit later on. So I'd just like to wish everyone a very, very, very safe week. So we will just about ready to... I think we're just about ready to just finish off. We're just waiting for the count.